the school board for December 11th, 2017, the regular school board meeting. Would you all please, the roll call. Ms. Schwartz, would you take the roll?
Mrs. Fairgreave?
Here.
Mr. Gaffney?
Here.
Mrs. Linkomer?
Here.
Mr. Manheim?
Here.
Mr. McNally?
Here.
Ms. Weibel?
Here.
Mrs. Yule?
Here. Thank you. Would you all please rise and join me in the Pledge of the Allegiance?
Got it. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you all for coming today at this very busy time of the year. We have some fun and exciting things to do at today's meeting, and we have students here, and that's always a great thing. The first thing on the agenda today is the public hearing for the resolution to adopt the 2017 aggregate tax levy. So I will now call to order the public meeting to adopt the aggregate tax levy for the year 2017. Dr. Chapman, would you please give us one more presentation on the tax levy? We've been working on it for months. No. Thank you.
Pulling that up, I would just like to say this is really kind of a momentous occasion. Not most tax levies are one to speak of, but this is one that's been building for the past 5 years, and the Board of Education, to their credit, has done a remarkable job of abating taxes to get to this point where now we're seeing the payoff of North High School and dropping our debt. So I'm very excited to be able to present that to you all this evening.
Okay.
We're good. Thanks, guys. So this, of course, is not the first time you've seen this presentation, certainly not the first time we're discussing this. We originally started the discussions about our tax levy back in September at the board level officially at the Business Services Committee on October 26 was our workshop on the tax levy. The board took action at the November 13th meeting to publish and to pass the estimated tax levy. While we're not required to publish, the board does so, and while we're not required to have the hearing tonight, the board does so because of transparency, and we stay consistent from year to year in that process. So the Board of Education has on the agenda tonight under action for approval of the levy, and once that is approved, we are to file that with the counties technically till December 26th, but that's the day after Christmas, so we will do it before then. Quick overview of the tax levy. As you're aware, over three-quarters of our revenue comes from the tax levy process. There are several laws and codes that we are required to and have followed throughout the process. And we do levy by fund, education, O&M, transportation, not just aggregate. And we'll go over each of the components briefly. Some quick definitions for you. The operating levy really is the levy that's meant to handle the work that we do, the instruction and the ancillary programs that we run, and that's a capped portion. And that's based on the Consumer Price Index that comes out in January annually. So we had received that for this tax levy in January of 2017. The debt service levy is our non-capped portion. That's also sometimes referred to as bond and interest. You'll see B&I. That's based on our actual debt schedule payments from year to year. And although it says increase in the slide, that's typically it's an increase here at the district. For this year, it will be a decrease of over $16 million. Our new growth is based on our assessors. Those are projected numbers. Those are numbers that we aren't going to realize until March. So usually we're working with our assessors and the various municipalities to get an estimate of those numbers. Talked about before how the levy impacts two budget years, current year, fiscal year 18. So right now in this budget year, for fiscal year 18, we have half of our revenue has been decided by last year's levy, the 2016 levy, which the taxes paid in 2017 in June and September. This levy that you'll approve tonight will be the other half of this fiscal year's budget, and it'll be the first half of next fiscal year's budget, fiscal year 19. Just a visual for that, you know, we've talked about kind of these two buckets. If you look at the 2017 taxes into the buckets, you'll see the 16-17 budget. That was half of the second half of the 16-17 budget and the first half of this year's 17-18 budget. As you approve this levy, we'll start receiving taxes in late May, June, which will fill up the back half of that 17-18 bucket, and then the September taxes will come in for 2018, and that will represent the 18-19 budget, roughly half of those tax dollars. So this is the best graph. This is the most exciting graph in the presentation. So this past year, we saw this nice little decline in our bond payment schedules, which meant the average taxpayer in District 303 saw a small reduction in their tax bill. Again, not everybody, but the average taxpayer this past tax year did receive a reduction in their D303 portion of their tax bill. This next year is the large drop, over $16 million of a decrease. That reflects roughly 75% of the total District 303 debt and a significant amount. And again, that's correlated to the payment of the last payment at North High School. As you look out in the future, you see we continue to decrease that debt schedule. And then in 2021, it pretty much falls off to just a couple of million dollars in perpetuity. Our previous levies, for taxpayer levy 2016, you as a board, this is the last year we abated our debt service schedule in order to return the $6 million I referenced earlier to taxpayers. That was held to 1.45%. In 2017, that was the year we were dealing with a CPI of 0.7%. So you can see we held that to a 0.71% total. And there was no abatement because we actually had a decrease in our debt payment schedules that I referenced earlier. District 303 has the lowest tax rates in Kane County. We've continued to talk about that over the last couple of years. As you look at this graph, the top half is that debt service or otherwise known as the mortgage portion of our levy. You can see we have essentially the lowest. We're tied with Batavia in terms of that portion of our levy. And then in our operating side, that, again, when you aggregate that up to a 5.95 tax rate. We are at 5.95 now as we look forward into next year, and we'll see this a little bit later in the presentation. We're dropping by roughly 0.7%, 0.70 points for next year as well, down to about a 5.25. So we're the lowest and continue to get lower. Some key impacts for taxpayers. Now, this is looking back at the final results of last year's levy. Our EAV, which is our equalized assessed value of properties, increased roughly 3.7%. We had new growth, which was an increase from the prior year. We were at about $12.5 million, and it crept up to about $14 million from last year's levy. And then, again, the impact of our declining debt service payments, as we talked about. So for this year's levy, we have to deal with what we know, and we have to deal with what we are projecting. On the known side, the end of year 2017 Consumer Price Index, which was reported in January of 2017, was 2.1%, and that will be the levy that's in effect for this year. On our projections, our EAV growth is projected to increase by 4%, so a slight uptick from the 3.7% from last year. Under new construction, we estimate roughly $25 million, which is more than we anticipated coming into this year. We will request slightly above that, and in your levy, you see a $35 million increase, and that is done to make sure that we capture all of that new growth. Because these are projections, we never want to undershoot that. If you lose that opportunity on the tax levy, you never get it back. Also, a key part of this process is to make sure that we align this tax levy with our five-year projections, which we do. Just a quick recap on this relationship between equalized assessed value, the consumer price index, and tax rates. In this first scenario, you're looking at what happens if the equalized assessed value and the consumer price index are exactly the same. So in a year where you might have a 2% CPI and your EAVs are increasing at 2%, those essentially balance and the tax rate remains flat. It's not a very common scenario. And scenario two, this is the scenario we are in right now. We're seeing existing EAVs rise at a higher rate than the consumer price index. So if I go back real quick to the last slide, we're looking at a 4% projected. We're looking at a 2.1% CPI. So what happens in those scenarios are we see a tax rate decrease. And 4 or 5 years ago, we saw the opposite. We saw EAVs declining at 3 or 4% a year. We saw CPIs at around 1.8 in that neighborhood, but that actually caused the tax rate to increase. So now the most important part is, what does that mean for our taxpayers, for a homeowner of a $300,000 home? If we look, there's our 2.1% CPI. There's our existing rate on the operating side only, so you're going to see a drop. You see that drop, again, because of what I referenced earlier. You've got an equalized assessed value at 4%. You've got your CPI at 2.1. So that $300,000 home, if it's still worth $300,000 again, when you reassess, is going to see a drop of almost $100 on that portion of the tax rate. Now we add into the fact the payoff of North High School, we add into the $16 million drop on the bond and interest, we go from a 0.79 rate down to a 0.22. And if you recall, a couple years ago, we've been referencing between $550 and $600 will be the drop on the debt portion. Came in right in the middle, right around $573 is what we expect to see this year. So the grand total, those two, comes out to a reduction of roughly $670 for a $300,000 homeowner. Now, if a $600,000 homeowner, you just double that. It scales up, so you're talking $900,000. You can just do the math on what those mean to individual property owners. In summary, this tax levy that you'll approve tonight will represent a net decrease of roughly 7%, and it's approximate because we won't know until the final extensions are delivered. In your packet, you'll see a number of 6.77% referenced. That would be the absolute worst-case scenario. That's if we actually had new growth where we expect it to be, higher than we expect it to be. That would be the case, but most likely it'll be under that, and we'll see a 7% or better in terms of the decrease on our taxpayer on our tax bill. $16 million drop in the debt payment, and we are aligned with the five-year projections. At this time, I'd be happy to answer any questions that the board may have.
I would like to ask if there are any questions from the public. You can make any comments or ask any questions if you would like. You didn't have to have signed up. Is there anything? No? Now, board members, we've heard some really good news. Does anybody have any comment or question for Dr. Chapman?
Well, it's a job well done, both by you and the board and the district. And the accumulating thing here is that the deduction of taxes is an ongoing thing. It's just not a one-year refund. You'll see it over the next 5 or 6 years.
I was just going to say thank you very much. Every time you explain this, it gets clearer or it's more interesting. And this was really interesting because taxes never go down. So I'm very happy to be sitting here at this table as this as we're going to preside over a tax decrease and a considerable one, more than we thought, because we knew about the deduction, the decrease in the bond and interest payments, the debt side, but I really didn't grasp that operating income, revenue for the ed fund would also go down. The levy request would go down also. I guess I got all caught up in the other one, so I think that's wonderful. And it's a great thing for our community. Our schools are still going to be well-funded and well-equipped, and it's just a win-win for everyone. I think I would also just like to say, Dr. Chapman, that you are so kind to often give the board credit, and we do add our points in, but it's hard work by you and Dr. Schlumman formerly and Dr. Pearson and the rest of the team to have seen these opportunities to abate taxes, to, you know, get the debt down more quickly, to plan it, to not, you know, make any errors, but not to do anything that would not allow this to happen. And you're often complimentary to the board, but I really wish to say that we're very grateful, and it's a grateful community that will get their bills come May. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
That said, I will now close the hearing. Okay, let me just find my piece of paper. All right. The next item on the agenda are citizen comments. I received an empty piece of paper, so we have no citizen comments today. Next, I would like to ask for Dr. Pearson for the superintendent's report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Huell. Well, tonight we are privileged to have some of our student athletes here from North High School. As those of you, as many of you know, we had a really exciting fall season with our athletics at both of our high schools, and we have had some opportunity to recognize some of our students at some of our committee meetings. And tonight we have another group of young ladies that we are excited to have a chance to celebrate their success with them. And so I'm going to introduce Mrs. Christian, principal at North High School, and she's going to introduce who she has with her tonight.
Well, good evening. I'm thrilled to be here to introduce you to and celebrate with you our girls' swim team who placed third at state. I shared with the ladies how impressed I am with their talent, with their perseverance, with all the hard work that they put in throughout the season, beginning practices at 4:30, before school and then again after school. And it's a year-round commitment that they've made. In addition to that, they're very talented academically and serve our school very well as leaders. Without further ado, to further explain their season and introduce our students, I'd like to introduce Coach Rob Rooney.
I've been told I have to speak into a microphone, so.
Still on?
Yes, okay. We got you.
I would like to thank Mrs. Christensen for being here tonight and for introducing my ladies who are here with me today. I would also like to thank the school board and everyone else who's involved with helping fund our schools, particularly JB back there, who does a lot to make sure that facility is up and running, as well as Mr. Mark Moore, who helps get our staff in place, and we've been very fortunate to have great people hired for us. I'm also going to thank Mr. Sommerfeld and Charlie back there, because it's been a rather unique year with the shutdown of a certain facility that I'm sure everyone has had a lot of work to do to bring back to life. But we've done a great job in balancing both programs in the pool for the benefit of the community. So I think when you look at what we've done, it's a true statement for how much we care about our pools and our facilities and the kids that attend both high schools. The girls that are with me today, I am very fortunate to work with, and I've known for quite some time. They're a unique group of girls. Their friendships are very deep. Their camaraderie with each other has grown over the past year, and it's been a very incredible experience for them as well for me. The girls we've got in front of us, let me introduce a few of them to her, is Mary Ellen Wolf. You can stand, Mary Ellen. Maxwell next to her is a high school All-American. Next to her also is a high school American, which is Megan Armstrong. Next to Megan is Rachel Ponte. She also achieved high school All-American status, as well did Julianne and Geiser and Gesser. She's right there in front of her is Sarah Shoning. Next to her is Mallory Jump, who is also a high school All-American. Next to her is Bella Del Rosario. Julia Station, who this year swam in the Athletes with Disability, and the unique thing about the IHSA is they started up a Athletes with Disability program, and Jillian was the first athlete we've had from St. Charles compete in that. And last but not least is Mary Kate Phillips. This group of girls, there is not one senior among them. So I'm extremely excited about our future and the direction that they can go in the next few years.
Well, usually we ask the students that are here for this situation, you know, what they're going to be doing in the future, because they must be seniors and moving on. And this is very exciting for your program. Congratulations, everyone. Yeah, that'd be next year.
Let's we do have one senior who is not here. She just was at Nationals, but she'll be swimming and being a student athlete at University of Missouri.
So, really?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Well, congratulations. We're very proud of you. And I noted that there's at least one parent here, and we're happy that you're here to foresee this, because it just doesn't happen very often enough. And we're happy that so many of you came, too. That's pretty impressive. We feel honored that you all took time out of your day. Does anyone else have anything? I do have something I would like to give. Is there a captain of the swim team? Or just...
Which one do you want to handle that one?
It's very tough work here.
Mal? Other note to that, each one of those girls were also academic all-conference, every single one of them.
That is wonderful. High school athletes, high school All-Americans also, you had said, or something?
There's a few of them back
yeah.
there in high school.
And I didn't even know that existed, so that's
just
pretty.
Like any other sport, like you had the McDonald's All-Americans for basketball and football and everything else, they are among the top athletes in the country for high school age athletes.
We know, yeah. And then academic. Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you for coming.
Thanks so much for coming tonight, ladies, and we look forward to having you next year. Come back again so that we can celebrate with you. You are welcome to stay for the whole meeting, but you do not have to. Feel free to slip out if you'd like.
Were you fascinated by what you saw?
As they're leaving, I just wanted to highlight that on Saturday we had the opportunity to celebrate with the Park District the opening of the new fitness center at the Norris Recreation Center that you as a board approved last year, and it was constructed over the summer in conjunction at the same time with our Redling project, and that was a really exciting event. I want to say thank you to Mr. Gaffney and Mrs. Huell, who were able to attend that program, and we were able to just have an opportunity with the Park District to recognize the partnership and all of the hard work that has gone in between the school district and the Park District to get the Norris Center now to a place where they are operated by with the Park District running it for us. So we're very excited. And I also would like to just say a thank you to those board members who have served historically on the Norris Recreation Center board because they have helped provide leadership as we've made this transition. So thanks to all of you that did that. And then I just wanted to mention that tomorrow night is special night for special kids. Tomorrow at Davis Primary School, and it begins at 5 o'clock and will be going until 7 o'clock. We would be happy to have any of you that would like to join us attend. JB, how many years have we been doing this now?
This is our 13th year.
Yeah, so the 13th year in the district that we have an opportunity to recognize some of our students, and it's a great opportunity if you've not had a chance to come. Many of our high school students, clubs, and organizations volunteer. Even some board members may show up in elf costumes, perhaps. I've heard that there might be a special appearance, so we appreciate everyone that comes to help make that event possible. So thank you, Ms. Huell. It starts at 5 o'clock.
Was that you?
Thank you, Ms. Huell. That concludes the superintendent's report.
Thank you very much. The next item are the committee reports. And we had quite a number of committee meetings this last month. So I'd like to start. I'll start with learning and teaching since I'm. Yeah.
Stunner. Okay. We started with recognitions, celebrations. Our St. Charles North mock trial team took fourth in the Empire World Championship competition. The coaches are Robin Roberts, Janelle Van de Sample, and Patrick Crimmins, who is a St. Charles High School Distinguished Alumnus. Also, Lizzie Kramer was one of the top five attorneys, and Brittany Ciccinelli, did I say that right? Was one of the top five witnesses. We also had Mr. Chizar gave our assessment updates. We had the park tests. I'm going to go through these as quickly as I can just to highlight the things we talked about. Park tests are given once per year, 6 to 7 tests totaling between 7 hours and 45 minutes and 8.5 hours. They are aligned to the SAT and they're now all computer-based. I have that correct, right? All computer-based, which is good. That was one of the problems we had in the past, is that some were on paper, some were computer. Benchmark is set by state using a three years of data, and we looked at ELA and math grades 3 through 8. The performance series test, we took a look at. And by the way, all this data is available still on our website. So the performance data, computer adaptive adjusting to individual student. It's a measure of annual student growth and used as an AT matrix. Grade level performance info is on the website for that as well. And that with that test, we looked at math and reading for grades 3 through 7. We looked at AP, which is obviously high school. As we all know, 3, 4s, and 5s get college credit. And so we talked about the percentage in D303 getting 3s, 4s, and 5s, 5-year trends for North and East High School, as well as for the district, and the comparisons of 3 or higher to Illinois and nationally, globally, to the Illinois stats and nationally and globally. And we took a look at the historical data since 2001-2002 school year. We did a current score summary by subject and looked at 5-year trends in AP scholars. That's those who are scoring 3 or more on 3 or more tests. The graduate class ACT, we took a look at that one because this is the last year the ACT is going to be the ACT is no longer the test of record in Illinois. In 2016, the juniors took it to assure that they did have a college entrance exam of some sort, and we adopted in 2017 the SAT. The data presented was 2012 and more recent ACT scores in all areas by district and high school. We took a look at the SAT, which is now the new test of record in Illinois. We administered PSAT to grades 8 through 12 each fall as a predictor, as well as for a strengths and needs assessment. Juniors take the PSAT NMSQT for scholarship opportunities. And I think we had one or two of those in the past year, so that's good. And we looked at the ESSA, Every Student Succeeds Act. It's a new law since 2015, replaced No Child Left Behind, and it was modified but did not eliminate standardized testing provisions. And we have some goals. All kindergartens are assessed for readiness. At third grade, 90% or more to read at or above grade level. At fifth grade, the goal was 90% or more to meet or exceed in math. Ninth grade, 90% or more on track for graduation, and the graduates, 90% or more ready for college or career. We will not be meeting in December, so we're going to our January 18th. Did I have that correct? Yes. January 18th, and that's going to be kind of a packed meeting.
The time for the January 18th meeting. 5:30.
Do we need to look at maybe moving? Is it going to be packed enough, do you think, for us to move it?
It'll be in Thompson Learning Center.
Okay, as far as time, I'm talking about the time. Are we going to have enough, so many items that we might want to make it earlier? Is that something we need to look at? We've got a little bit of time to make that decision.
But are going to want to be there, so maybe we should make sure we
okay. All right, that works for me. And it is probably going to be harder in January to get home from work than it might be in August. So, okay.
So, also,
just when you put together, I'm sure we'll have to put some thought into putting the meeting together so that we fit everything in.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll arrange. Kelly and I will get together and do that.
Mm-hmm.
So mostly she'll do that. Yeah. And I'll say okay.
Okay. Well, then that's okay.
All right.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
The next meeting was the business services meeting. Mr. Mannheim?
Yeah, thank you. We met on Tuesday, November 28th. As always, we led off with the financial reports for Mid-Valley as well as D303, and those are in your packet for information. Our next item was item C, which was the East High School Stadium Athletic Field, and we had a good discussion between all the members that were here pertaining to timing and funds, as well as hours, you know, of use that we can get out of the field. We heard from East about, you know, how they would be able to utilize that field, and I think we got some additional information from administration on hours or how they're used at North, as well as a nice letter from Dan at North about how well it's used and everything, so everybody got that. And then I guess we can probably talk about it because we'll take action on it, but one of the highlights or kind of things we talked about was where the funds would come from, and that since we had some savings from our construction projects, that we could use that or some DSUB money that we set aside for construction a year and a half ago or so when we came down this path of looking at construction opportunities. So that'll be on for action tonight. Our next item, Mr. Lamp gave us a construction update. Our only construction project right now is Thompson. And everything's on schedule, and we're continuing to move along on things and, you know, making good progress. So our next item was the Norris Rec Center update for the restoration portion. As we know, as Dr. Pearson mentioned, the new facility opened, and then restoration continues to make progress, and the only thing we really have left is the lower level restrooms and locker rooms and all that, and that's kind of tentatively looking at March, right? That we're kind of looking at, yeah. Again, kudos to the Park District. They continue to keep all their members well informed. Just got another email this week about progress and how things are moving along, so it's really well. Our next item, Scott Densler from Klein Hall came in to give us our yearly audit update. All good things. We're still in good financial recognition. Just kind of our yearly thing that we come in and get an update for. And that's for information as well. Our next item was a PTAB update for our property tax appeal for a property for the St. Charles Country Club that we always, Dr. Chapman keeps us up to date on where they intervene for taxes and things. So that's information. Our next item was review of quotes for new LED lighting at the St. Charles North Natatorium. So hopefully those girls that are already gone, but they'll get to enjoy that next year. So we've heard good things about the lighting at East and the pool, so hopefully North will get to enjoy that great lighting as well. And then, while it wasn't on the agenda, we did discuss bringing an item at Thompson to the board for some potential drainage at the new Thompson field. And we weren't sure what the cost was going to be. So if it exceeds a change order amount of $100,000, we have to take action on it. But good news, it came in at around 37-ish, yep. 38, somewhere in there. Yeah, 38,000. So that's good news. So we don't necessarily have to take action on it, but since we talked about it and we mentioned it would be on, so we're going to actually, it'll be on consent for tonight. But just so you see that in your packets, that was something we talked about. That is it. We also canceled December's meeting. First time in 6 years. And we will be meeting in January, which I don't remember the date.
25th
at 5 p.m. So that's it.
Thank you very much. That was a very full meeting with all ends of the spectrum from, you know, the section to the audit. And thank you.
You're welcome.
For going over it so well also. Then the Community Relations Committee met.
Okay. Well, actually, last meeting, because of the timing of the meeting, we updated the November 8th meeting at the last board meeting. So do you want me to re-go over it, or
no.
Are we good to go? Okay. I didn't think so. But I did want to just mention that our next meeting is January the 10th, a Wednesday, and we have Mr. Michael Isaacson coming in from the Kane County Health Department to come in as a community partner to speak about the different programs that we align with the Kane County Health Department on in 303. And we're also going to talk about some communication ideas, and I think we might have some people having some input with that. So I encourage all board members to try to come to that meeting if you can. And I think that's about it.
Good. Thank you. Okay. Now I remember. I think you just didn't have the minutes at that point yet.
Yeah, we didn't have the minutes yet because it was literally a couple days before.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much. I just wanted, the meeting that I went to was the DPTO meeting on the 15th, and they had a follow-up to their evening meeting. They tried something different where to maybe catch some parents that might want to come in the evening, because parents will often say, well, why don't you just have it in the evening? And they had poorer attendance than usual. I think they'll give it another try. But they generally have good attendance because there's such good information put out at that meeting. They also did have a lot of discourse amongst each other about what they were doing in the fall, whether it's that or whether it's after-school enrichment or things. It's a very good group for them. It's also a very good group for them and for the district because they have such great speakers. And we had Megan Merkgen, I think that's close, who talked about the parent, and also Ms. Kelly, Dr. Galt, who talked about the parent universities that have gone on and the different outreach to parents. And one of them was the was talking about Google, and it was done by a Google-certified trainer. They talked about a family coding night that was held on December 5th and also November 28th, the 5th at Bell Graham and the 28th at Redling Middle School. So I'll be interested in hearing how those went. And they also have had parent universities at different schools on Eureka Math, and they have found the parents that go are very happy they went. But they have found, and one thing that came up is that most of the parents, and we saw a video of some of the feedback and also some of just a little bit of the presentation, and they talked about how parents will tend to go to a meeting that's at their school, even if it's a district-wide topic. So any elementary parent could go, but if it's it's not at their school, they're maybe not likely to go. Maybe that was something, I think that was something that was going to be worked on because the people that did go thought it was really valuable. And then Dr. Pearson came and talked to us and gave the group presented some enrollment data and talked about addressing the ongoing needs in the buildings, mainly underutilization with our decreasing enrollment and what that does to our class sizes. And once again, talked about the date that administration will have some information for us and a presentation at the Learning and Teaching meeting on the 18th at 5:30 at Thompson's Middle School, Learning Center. So that was my meeting. And did anybody have anything else to go to? I know there's housing sometimes or nothing.
We have not.
Housing has not convened in months. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Good for you. Okay. Our four action items today are... the first one is, may I have a motion on the resolution to adopt the 2017 aggregate tax levy? Mr. Gaffney and Mr. McNally, we had conversation, but is there anything else anyone would say? No? None heard? Ms. Schwartz, would you take the roll, please?
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkmer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weigel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgrave?
Yes.
Mrs. Hewell?
Yes, the motion carries unanimously. Thank you all very much. And just a reminder that we have to sign some paperwork at the end of the meeting today, so don't rush off too much. You can have it all first, so you can thank you. Next item is may I have a motion for the approval of work authorization for East High School's stadium athletic field? Mr. Gaffney?
Second.
And Mr. Manheim is second. Is there any presentation on this necessarily? No. Okay. We did talk about, we have a lot of information in our packet, and I was just wondering if anybody has anything they want to say about it.
Well, I have a question.
Yes.
So just to clarify on what you said during your committee report, so the funds from our standpoint will come out of additional construction. Is that outside of the reserve that we have, or where is that?
So...
So when the board, a year and a half ago, I guess, right, we set, or administration gave us a presentation about how we would set funds aside for construction projects. And so there's like some DSUB money and some other, we had that construction grant for like $7.5 million and things like that. And so Thompson came in at almost $2 million under.
Right.
And so that's not counting, we still have the contingency and everything. So that's separate. So contingency is still part of Thompson and everything. So this is actually some additional savings that we, from the bids that came in under from that.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. And I did forget to mention too that the boosters have a similar agreement that we had with North Boosters as well for replacement of the field.
It's a similar agreement and a similar timeline.
Correct.
Right, so we know it works.
Correct, right. Yes. Yeah, okay. The schedule developed by Rettler would, they would, so basically what we're voting on today is actually just the drawings portion for going out to bid. And then once the bids come back, we'll take action on that as well, too. So we're not actually voting on the construction so much as the drawings and the project itself. So we'll still have another opportunity to review bids in probably late spring, early spring. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for clarifying all those things.
Yeah. And then, yes, is, the schedule is the same as North. So,
mm-hmm.
And North finished up, and they had their black and blue game on there, and that's the same goal as that East Abilda.
It was a very good summer, though, weather-wise. Well, so
we'll hope for that as well.
Yeah. We never have another one. Anyone? At that meeting, I was a person that had great concerns about it. First of all, I don't know why people would want to take grass out and put in plastic turf, but anyway, I'm a traditionalist. You all know that. But my biggest concern on this just had to do with the funding portion that we think we would have had enough money, but that given the big construction program going on, and I didn't want that to be affected negatively in any way if we had already committed some funds. And a good, helpful note at the very end of Mr. Mannheim's meeting was that I was concerned that we had gone through a quarter of our contingency fund with only a couple months, but we had already gone through many of the big items, and we had probably found any of the big items that would have raided our contingency fund, and that we would likely have, we expect to have more than enough money going forward. So for that reason, it made me much more comfortable with this decision, because I wasn't there for a while.
And I think, too, when we set out to enhance, facilities, Thompson and Redling and Norris Center, I think this, too, now we have an opportunity to help. We did the Northfield as well, so I think that this is a great opportunity to continue to add value to our district and the community as well, because mm-hmm. the community will get a chance to use it, and it's not just athletics, it's extracurriculars and the students for gym and everything. So I think mm-hmm. it's an opportunity that we'll get to keep enhancing.
Mm-hmm. And actually Mr. Kyle and Mr. Sommerfeld, who are back there, I believe, they did a pretty good job of explaining the need and how it would be used so much, not just for 5 or 6 football games and a couple soccer games a year. It's going to be used not year-round, but a lot, and for PE and for adaptive PE. There's a lot of really good reasons to have that field like that. And then additionally, I just thought I would say I was asked to be part of a park district survey. The whole community is being surveyed, but they had some focus groups. And someone was there from the St. Charles Tourism Bureau and talked about how they are continually they had no idea what we had talked about. And they said they get constant requests to use the fields, whether it's companies or, tournaments or just teams in the area. And so we'll actually be adding to the greater community, not just the school. So that just kind of fleshes out that conversation. I felt like I needed to explain why I was hesitant at that meeting. Is anyone else? Please.
I had some of the same hesitancy. Am I being heard here? I had some of the same hesitancy regarding funding, and that's a lot of that. Those fears have been allayed. My biggest thing was utilization, the fact that we're utilizing that field and that North was able to. I had asked when we voted on the North field for assurances that we were going to truly use that field for academic purposes for PE. And it sounds like they've been using it in spades for that purpose at North. And not only that, it sounds like East has even additional uses for adaptive PE and things like that that we hadn't even considered before. So a lot of my concerns have been abated. I'm still a big fan of, as you say, grass over plastic. And that's coming from 30 years of coaching and many more years of playing. But there's a durability issue and community use issue that is not possible with a natural turf field. So so I've been, I think, kind of swayed. So
thank you. So anyone else? Okay. Mrs. Schwartz, would you take the roll, please?
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgrave?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Hewell?
Yes, the motion carries unanimously. Thank you, everyone. The next item is the proposed, may I have a motion on the proposed school district calendar for 2018-19?
So
moved. Ms. Linkemer?
Second.
Mr. McNally, thank you. So very, Mr. Manheim.
I'm much better looking.
That's right. So in a very timely way, we have the district calendar already. And as I understand, it's done with a joint group always.
Yeah, so Mr. Moore actually is responsible.
Mr. Moore is actually responsible for coordinating our calendar committee, and so he's just going to briefly tell you what's included. But we do have a joint committee with our association to develop the calendar every year, and then we bring it to the board for approval. So, Mr. Moore?
Yes, the committee, as Dr. Pearson said, is a number of teachers, administrators, and a support staff representative. We met a little more than a month ago to determine the calendar for the new year. It is essentially the same calendar as this year. Institute days and school improvement days are placed strategically based upon when they're needed in the year and when holidays appear. We continue with parent conferences during Thanksgiving week, so students are off for all of Thanksgiving as they have been for many years. Then the first day of school is August 22nd. Last day, when there are no snow days, June 3rd.
What's graduation day? Is that on there?
Has not been set.
Oh.
It's on there, though.
Should be June 2nd. I'll have to verify that with Jordan.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry.
Question, Mrs. Hill.
Yes.
I can remember many years in the past where the five Mid-Valley, the co-op, always tried to set the same calendar. Are we not meeting together as a group anymore to develop the calendar?
So we do look at all of the district calendars at the January Mid-Valley meeting. The districts, our other districts in the cooperative, have shared kind of their draft calendars, and their boards are on a similar timeline as we are, and they do tend to continue to line up with just some small variations.
Good. Anyone? All right. Ms. Schwartz, will you take the roll call vote, please?
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgrave?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mrs. Hewell?
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Last voting item today is the consent agenda. May I have a motion to approve this consent? I know you're going to pull something.
I request something. To pull. Yeah, I request to pull.
I don't know if I do that first. Is that it?
Let it pull it first.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to pull it first.
Would anyone like to pull any item off the consent agenda?
Please. Yes, please. Pull H.
Yes. That is the resolution authorizing the destruction of certain verbatim records of closed board meetings. That's Ms. Weibel.
Thank you.
Anyone else have anything? Nothing heard? May I have a motion to approve the consent agenda without item H?
Second.
Mrs. Linkemer and Mr. McNally. Yes. Anything? No one has anything to discuss? Good. It is the consent agenda after all. Ms. Schwartz, will you take the roll call vote, please?
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgrave?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mrs. Hewell?
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Now we will go to item H.
Mrs. Hewell, if I may just quickly explain why I pulled H.
And you know what? I'll ask for a motion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I may have a motion to approve item H separately. You can do that.
I can make the motion.
Yes.
All right. I'll make the motion.
Yes. And you'll second it. Thank you. Okay. Now, is there any discussion?
Sorry. Yeah, I just wanted to explain why I pulled H for the board. Because of the destruction of certain verbatim records, I wasn't present at the time of closed session and have not reviewed them. I just feel like it's something I should abstain from.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyone else? No? Okay, I will ask for the vote, please.
Ms. Weibel?
Abstain.
Mrs. Fairgrave?
Abstain.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkomer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Huell?
Yes, the motion carries. Thank you. Oh. We have for information, various Freedom of Information requests. There are some very expensive ones this month. We also have the financial report for October 2017 for both our school district, USD 303, and the Mid-Valley Co-op. And then we have a whole copy of the audit for D303 that we saw, that was presented at the Business Services Committee. Is there any new business? None heard. There is no closed session today. And I would just like to reiterate that please just stick around for a little bit after the meeting to sign the levy resolution. May I have a motion to adjourn? Mrs. Linkomer. Oh, Mr. McNally. Ms. Weibel. Everybody wants to do that one. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? None heard. Thank you all. Merry Christmas. Have a wonderful vacation, holiday, and we'll see you all safely back here in January.